welcome today to churches all around the world who are participating in One Prayer. I'm Chris Hodges, and all of us here at Church of the Highlands are honored to be a part of your service today. Come on, Highlands, show your love one time. Yeah. It's awesome. All right. And it really is a joy to be with you. I think there's something incredibly special about hundreds of churches all praying together, serving together, giving together. I mean, think about it. Literally hundreds of churches of all doing the same series together. And we just know that it honors God. I think we're together answering the prayer that Jesus gave us out of John chapter 17. Lord, make us one. It's got to please the heart of God for this to be taking place. And of course, thank you to Life Church and Pastor Craig Rochelle, who leads this effort. We appreciate all you guys do there at Life Church. Last year, we finished the sentence, Lord, make us, and we had a blank there. This year, we decided to have the sentence, God is blank. God is, and for all over the world and all over the country, people are answering that question or completing that sentence, God is. And I tell you, in our process of trying to come up with what God is, you'd have to agree with me that God is a lot of things. I mean, God is faithful, God is righteous, God is our healer, God is just, God is our Savior, He's our provider, He's our protector. I mean, the truth be known, God is a lot, right? God is a lot. So here's what we decided to do in our message, and that is just put this word in the blank, God is more. I think any word that you would try to put in the blank, God is, you still can't define God, because even if you said God is faithful, He's more faithful than you could possibly imagine. And I think one of the tendencies or one of the things that humans just tend to do is we tend to try to just say, well, God is this, and we put God in this little box. And I think the danger is sometimes we don't experience all there is of God. If there's anything in my heart that is a driving passion, it is a passion for more of God. I mean, a driving passion that we all realize that we don't have all there is of God, that there's more to God than what we currently know and have experienced. But a lot of times, when you agree with me, a lot of times people kind of, especially after their salvation experience, just kind of stop, or they end up in a boring type of lukewarm kind of a maintained mode, when really the Christian experience can be quite the adventure if you'll just go for it. It kind of plays on my personality as well. I last year, I watched the movie The Bucket List. Some of you guys, all the churches, you saw The Bucket List movie? I saw this movie, and what it did, I was 45 years old when I saw this movie, which is kind of a, right, it's kind of a halftime in your life. And the tendency is to kind of like, all right, here I am. I have 5 children. I'm living my life. And it's kind of to stop. And I actually went home from the movie and made my own bucket list, things I want to do before I kicked the bucket. And it was things like, I want to go to every Major League Baseball park with my kids. I mean, it just sounds like fun, you know? And one of the things I want to do, I want to kill an animal that can kill me. Some of you don't want that to be on my bucket list, right? All right. Maybe some of you do. I don't know. Well, another discussion there. I want to play. There's a couple of golf courses I want to play. Augusta National, of course. I want to play St. Andrews, the home of golf. Just bucket list items. You ready for another one? I want to fly in some type of supersonic jet, like an F-16. I want to pull some G's, baby. I want it to knock me out. I want to go like, yeah, and just, I just. Doesn't sound like fun to you. I mean, I really do. I really do have this driving passion. I have this driving passion to live more of life than what I've lived so far. And any of you who are satisfied with where you are right now, I'm just going to tell you, life will lose its meaning. Life will lose its purpose. It can get incredibly boring for you. Same is true spiritually. If you just kind of stop, maintain, I've got my fire insurance. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to heaven now. And just kind of leave it at that. What you'll end up doing, and this is especially true of anybody who's been in church for a long time, you'll end up sitting in church, and it'll become so predictable to you that you know what's going to be said next. I mean, they could name a chapter and you're like, no, that one. Been there, done that. 1 Corinthians 13, love. I mean, you've done it so long that you can actually get in this stale mode. And I think it's incredibly dangerous. I think that's where the enemy can come in and discourage you and try to just bring some things in your life. So here's our question for this message today, and that is, what is it in us that keeps us from going for more? If we all realize, and I think all of us would realize, that there's more to God than we've currently experienced, what keeps us from that? And I'm convinced that there are some obstacles to more. I think there is more of God than we've currently experienced, but there are some things in the way, and I don't think unless you deal with those obstacles, you'll ever experience all there is to God. And I think it's incredibly important that we do. And not just for our own personal fulfillment, not just for our own personal spiritual bucket list, because God needs us to experience all of Him. He needs us to embrace all of the things that He came for so that we can impact the world around us. It's the truth. Now, for some people, the reason why you don't go after more of God is because of the fear of what might happen if you do. That would have been my story. I grew up in church and really just had a bad understanding of if I really went after all there is to God, it would be incredibly dangerous. In fact, I thought, you know, if I really sold out to God, I'd end up as a missionary in Africa in a mud hut the rest of my life. I was convinced that I was going to have to go door to door for the rest of my life and tell people to turn or burn, you know, and I did. I mean, I had this viewpoint of what selling out to God or going after all there is in God, I really didn't want it. I wanted enough God to go to heaven, but nothing more. I want you to look in your Bibles with me in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And at all the campuses that are watching, all the churches that are watching this message today, we're going to put the verse on the screen for you. And all of us here at Church of the Highlands, I want us to read this verse aloud together. Here we go. Let's say it. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. The scripture clearly tells us that there's more to God than even your wildest dreams. But there are obstacles in the way. I remember when I was a student at LSU, we had every Tuesday at 4 o'clock in front of the student union area, there's a famous bench there, a concrete bench, that on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock became Free Speech Alley. It was a place where people could go and just stand up on the bench and speak their mind. They would give speeches, they would rant, they would complain. And once a year, we had this traveling evangelist that I think went to every college around. He spent about a week at our school, and on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock would get up at Free Speech Alley and preach. And it was real hard, like, you know, turn or burn. He had this giant family-sized Bible that he tucked under his arm. He's in a full suit. And his name was Holy Hubert, and he had a traveling companion named Sister Cindy, who was quite a bit younger. Holy Hubert was just old guy. Sister Cindy was this younger lady. She wore this real flowing dress, buttoned up to her chin, all, you know, long sleeves, and just she carried the big Bible. She wore a hat, and they would preach and just. Well, everybody thought it was more entertainment than anything else, so they would show up and just laugh and enjoy. Hundreds of people would gather at these, watching them, you know, do this. And Sister Cindy had this phrase that she would always conclude, like, every paragraph with. She says, "And if you don't get saved and give your life to Jesus, you're going to burn in the lake of fire," just like that. Well, everybody knew the line now, so when she... So when she would get to that place, in the sentence, well, here's how it would go. She says, "If you don't get your life right and if you don't give your heart to Jesus, you're going to burn in the lake of," and then hundreds of LSU students, "Fire!" I mean, they'll scream out loud. Well, here I am trying to work out my own Christianity. I was newly saved, and I was thinking, you know, one of the problems that people have about getting more of God is what they are perceiving about God. There's just some things in the way. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. If you turn there, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at the life of someone that's very familiar to all of us. We're going to look at the life of Moses, and we're going to see that God wanted to do some incredible things in this guy. You know the backstory. This Hebrew child, to be spared from being murdered, was put in a basket, found by Pharaoh's family, taken into their home. This Hebrew child was raised as a prince of Egypt. At 40 years old, he was exiled out of that country and spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, not living out his passions and dreams and potential. And God had more for him. We're going to pick up the story in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look in verse 1. And I want you to see this. He says, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. You remember this story. There the angels of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within the bush. You've all seen the movie where the bush is burning. Well, Moses gets interested in that, and he goes there, and Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to him, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Or if you've seen the movie, Moses. All right. Anyway. I'm sorry. And Moses said, here I am. God said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. I want you to notice right off the bat that God many times has something for us that oftentimes will begin by something that is hard for us to understand. And it would be very easy, wouldn't you agree with me, that if you saw a talking bush, that the tendency would be to say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to go over there. I think I'm going to leave that one alone. Can you even imagine the conversation that he had when he met with his friends? Hey, guys, you'll never guess what happened. Well, tell us about it. Well, there was a bush, and it was burning, but you know, it really wasn't burning. And when I went over there, it talked to me, and guess who it was? It was God. How many of y'all know they would at that point say, you know what, you've got issues, right? Right? And a lot of times people see things that come across them as strange, and I'm convinced there are scores of us really staying away from the potential that God has for our lives. We're not getting more of God because sometimes it's just weird. It's strange for us to go there. And you'll see that Moses ended up in a dialogue with God and came up with reasons why he did not want to go there, why he did not want to receive all that God had for him. And here's the point. I think there are scores of believers that'll go to heaven, but will never go after all there is to God. We would rather be more comfortable with a God who talks to us just with a book, or a God that talks to us in a flannel graph story, or in a Sunday school class, or in a church service. We have our comfort zone. But I'm telling you, God has more, because he is a God of more. He's a God of more. And I'm just trying to whet your appetite with this driving passion that there's more to God than you've currently experienced, and don't stop there. We named our church Church of the Highlands because I wanted to take people on this journey of more, just more. Well, he gives four excuses. I want you to write these down if you're taking notes. The first one you can find in verse 11. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. I want you to write that down if you're taking notes. The first thing that Moses had to get over is he had to get over himself. I want you to write that down. Get over yourself. If you're going to go after more of God, the first thing that you're going to discover is that you're probably in the way. And I think that happens because of our wrong view of ourselves and a wrong view of God. I'm telling you guys, I grew up in a church culture that made God so unapproachable that I was just really honestly just afraid of him. God, to me, was sort of like the Wizard of Oz. That you know, flames, smoke, giant face, what do you want? Man, I just want to go to heaven. I just want to be saved, you know, and go get the broom of the Wicked Witch of the West. If you'll just perform for me, you know, if you'll just do some things for me. And I was completely convinced that God would accept me if I had done some things, if I had performed, if I had obeyed right. And can I tell you how much that is not the gospel? You don't get your act all together so that you can go to God. You go to God so that you can get your act all together. And I think so many people are not getting closer to God just because of the wrong view they have of God and themselves. We have to get over ourselves. If we're going to grow, if we're going to get all of God, we've got to get over ourselves. Here's the second one. I want you to write this down. In fact, let's look at the verse first in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, okay, I understand that, and I appreciate the fact that you love me, and I appreciate that you believe in me, and you know my past, you know my issues, and okay, I get over this fact that you still can use this murderer, you can use this exiled person. But he says, what about this, God? Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Well, what do I say then? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, do you understand this? The second question that Moses had to deal with, he had to get over the issue that God. I think there are so many people that God is what's in the way. I mean, he's a God that if you have to understand before you can have all of him, you're never going to get all of God. But it's like, okay, God, before I can really go there, before I can have this more thing, I really got to understand you. So, God, look, I'm telling you what they're going to ask me. They're going to ask me your name. So if you don't mind, just tell me what that is. God said, no problem. I'll tell you what it is. You ready? Just write this down. Yeah, okay. Tell them, my name is I Am. Can you imagine Moses going, God, it's like, you am what? You what am you? You am what are you, you know? That, no, it's kind of like a who's on first kind of thing, right? It's like, no, God, that's my question. I'm asking you who I am. And again, you cannot define God. You cannot put God in that box. You cannot say that, man, this is just, here, let me say it this way. God is always bigger than what will ever fit in your brain. And if God has to fit into your understanding, then God can only be as big as you. You've got to realize that there's a part of God you're never going to get. I think there's so many people that stay away from the Holy Spirit because it's like, I can't figure that out. That's just that one part of the Bible. I don't get it. So you know what? I'll just stay away from that. And if God always has to fit into your understanding, if he always has to fit into your mind, then you're never going to get more of God. In fact, I want you to see this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, Paul said, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Look at this. But with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith does not rest on the stuff you can understand, but on God's power. I'm afraid that there are too many of us that are like, okay, I'll go there if it makes sense to me. I'll go there. You're going to have to explain the theology. You're going to have to explain all this to me first. And then once I get it, you know what, then I'll take that step. And I'm telling you, there'll be a part of God, a large part of God, you'll never experience if that's going to be your condition. I'm just talking about the excuses, the things that got in the way for Moses. The first was himself. Man, God, I don't know. Who am I to go do this big thing that you have planned? And Moses would say to him, you know what? I love you. I've got a plan for your life. Okay, God, but who are you? And you know what? Moses, don't go there either, dude. You can't understand me. If that's going to be your condition to do some great things for me, there's a part of me that you will never understand. Well, you'd think you'd give up by this point, right? I mean, because God always has a great response every time, but he doesn't. He has a third excuse. It's found in chapter 4 and verse 1. Look at it. Moses answered, well, what if they do not believe me or listen to me or say, that wasn't the Lord? That wasn't, especially with Moses' story, wouldn't you agree? Because he's going to come with the bush talking story. That wasn't the Lord that appeared to you. That was pizza. You had too much pizza too late. The Lord said to him, he says, Moses, what is that in your hand? He says, it's a staff. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. And then the Lord said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Here's the third thing. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. You've got to get over others. Can I tell you, every time you try to go after God and do anything significant for God, there is someone who's going to be a critic who's going to stand in the way and say, man, that's dumb. Don't do that. You guys that are at Highlands, you know, we've been a church for about 8 years now. God's blessed us in a great way. It's been awesome. But we've had our share of people who have opinions about what we do over here. I mean, we had so many people that say, oh, well, they do this or that. And I've even had people come up to me and say, you know what, I heard this or I heard that. And if you're going to let that dictate how much you're going to do from God, can I tell you, there will always be someone who will pull you back. If you're going to worry about what people think, you're never going to be able to get more of God. You're never going to get the things that God has for you. In fact, when we had all those critics years ago, we had a whole season of that 1 year, about 4 years ago. We just told people, you know what? Why don't you just come see for yourself? Don't listen to us. Don't listen to them. Just come see for yourself. We knew if people could just get in the presence of God and experience it for themselves, they'd realize it. That's what God was saying here. God saying, Moses, you cannot let people stand in the way. I remember the first time I came to a church like this, because I was raised very formal church. And I remember the first time I came, and I remember the music being kind of a distraction for me. And the drums on stage, never saw that before, and had a little problem with the whoo-ha-ha, you know, all the clapping, and it was just, wasn't you really used to that, you know? But how many of you know, when you're kind of in there, there's part of you that likes it, and part of you that's not sure what's going on, but it kind of hits you at first, and it kind of like, you know, it hit my toe first, you know? He's like, all right. Mm-hmm. My toe got free, but nothing else. But I mean, a part of me was like, you know, but I had the right over left going. I'm just going to keep it real conservative the rest of the way up. But I'm telling you, my toe was getting free down there. It's like, you know, next couple Sundays, it kind of works its way up. I never forget. I actually planned the Sunday I was going to do the hand thing. I was like, this is going to be my Sunday. Because I'm convinced, you know, everybody's watching me. I was always really concerned about what people were going to say. I mean, this was like a big step. Like, so I'm doing it. It's like, you know? Come on, you're laughing because you've done it too, right? Remember your first time? Wow. What is that? People. It's what are people going to say? What are people going to say? What are they thinking? How many of you already realize there's no one looking at you, right? But you just think I thought the whole world saw that. It's like, oh, my Lord. Then you get a little freer, you know. I planned my two-hand Sunday. I remember it vividly. It's like I'm going two hands. Like, wah. You know, just get free. But I bet every one of you remember the day that it didn't matter anymore what anybody else thought. Come on, isn't that true? And you just were able to worship God freely. You weren't performing, but you also weren't just inhibited by it. You're just freely worshiping God. Don't care anymore what people think. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get more of God, you're going to have to overcome some obstacles. The first obstacle is, who am I? If you cannot see yourself correctly and see God correctly, if you don't understand how much He loves you, and does not want you to perform and become something first before he does something in your life, you'll never get more of God. You also have to understand that God is never going to be just, it's not going to fit in your brain. And if your condition of getting more of God is always going to be that I have to understand everything there is to know about God first, well then, honey, then God can never be any bigger than your brain. And in my case, he would be a very small God. If you're going to worry about what people think, what if they say the bush really didn't talk? That wasn't real. If you're going to let people determine that, look in your notes there in John chapter 12, verse 42. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in Jesus. There were people who followed Jesus that really thought, you know what, this is real. This is the real thing. But check out what happened. But because of the Pharisees, that's, you know what the Pharisees is? That's the church crowd. That was the religious establishment of the day. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they'd be put out of church. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. We're just talking about obstacles. I'm telling you, I'm hoping to whet your appetite that we serve a God who's a whole lot bigger than anything you could ever understand. In fact, if you watched all one prayer messages that God is blank, that would still not even come close to defining how great he is. I think it's critical that all of us have this driving passion and this plan, this spiritual bucket list to go after more of God. But to do it, you are going to have to face some obstacles. You're going to have to get over yourself. You're going to have to get over God. You're going to have to get over others. And look at the last one. This is the last excuse that Moses came up with. Chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, okay, I have never. In other words, okay, I realize you love me. I realize that you're bigger than I'll ever understand. I realize that I can't really let my life be dictated by people. But his last excuse was, but I've never done that before. I'm scared to take the step. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or dumb? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and that's the key phrase here. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Here's the last thing, you ought to write it down, and that is you have to get over just doing it. And here's my final challenge to everyone who's watching. And I want to speak directly to those at churches all around the world that are watching this one prayer message. It's high time that we just do something. I'm encouraging you not to spend another Sunday just in the chair experiencing the same God you've experienced year after year after year. For some of us, even here at our church, it's time for you to surrender everything to God. You've served a God that is incredibly safe for you. You served a God that's something you can control. As Ezekiel's vision said, we're in the river, but we only ankle deep or knee deep. Some of us waist deep, but we like to be all wet. We want to be up in the things of God, but we certainly don't want to be out of control. And God says that the only place where the river is teeming with life is when you lose control and get in the middle and let it float you wherever it goes. I've never done that. There's fear sometimes. For some of you, this step is a step to serve. It's a step to do something. And I'm not just going to sit around and watch what goes on around here. Man, I'm going to go make a difference. I'm going to serve on a team. I'm going to be a part of the volunteers of the church. I'm going to do something. I'm going to lead a small group. It's time. And there are many of you even here at our church that you've been hearing messages like this for far too long. And you're limiting your experience of God. Until you step out and say, you know what, it's time for me to get over it. And you've gone through the list. We know what, I'm just not good enough. Who am I? What can I tell you? God loves you. If he can use a murderer, he can use you. Well, I don't understand God. Well, join the club. He's bigger than all of us can understand anyway. Yeah, but what people are going to say, if that's going to be the condition that you ever experience the things of God, it will always limit you. It will always limit you. Well, I have never, and this is the key, and you never will, until you take the leap. If there's anything I know about the Christian walk, is that God will always require the big leap. Because what faith is, it's a step into something that sometimes you don't know what's on the other side of it. But the Bible is clear that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he gives more to those who diligently and earnestly seek after him. Hebrews 11. So here's the question. If you've not experienced all there is to God, and you haven't, why not? Why not? What's your excuse? Why not? And can I challenge you, just like I put together that bucket list of things I want to do before I kick the bucket, can I challenge you to put yourself on a spiritual growth journey where you experience all there is of God, or at least make an attempt to? Go after him. Go to higher heights, as we like to say it around here. Get all there is of God. Get over the excuses and go after God. Now, at all the churches, let's bow for prayer. I want to pray. I want to pray for all those that are here and all those that are listening. And I want to challenge you to take this step right now and just decide you're going to can the excuses. You're going to get them out of the way so that you can experience and know the God who is more. He's more. And Father, I pray for every person watching this message and those here at our church, God, and together we just submit our wills and our lives to you. And God, we repent. We're sorry for letting excuses keep us into mediocrity. And to keep us, Lord, from the great potential that you have for us. And Lord, just like Moses, we believe that you have a call on our lives, that you want to do more in our lives. We believe you're a God of more. And so right now, Lord, we just together repent for the excuses and just go ahead, Lord, and realize that you love us, that you want to do great things in us, that God, you're big. God, that we're not going to let the crowd determine what we know and experience about you, Lord, and that we're going to take the step. I pray, Lord, that you give every person courage and the boldness to first surrender everything to you, everything, that you're a God who can be trusted. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just do something great in every one of us so that you, Lord God, can do exceeding abundantly above, more than all we can ask, imagine, and think, according to the power that you want to put inside of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.